You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
It is good to see you all. It's good to be back. Thank you so much for your prayers. Those of you who don't know, I've been in the UK for the past just over 2.5 weeks. My mom was hospitalized very suddenly. And so I rushed over there just to see her. Her esophagus was dying. They found this just massive dead cells. And so they've been able to stabilize her. While I was there, she was discharged. So she's now back at home. So we've been able to get carers in for her every day. So she personally said, can you please thank the church for your prayers? She definitely felt the power of prayer. Like, it was really scary for a moment, and she's now, you know, up and about a little bit more. She's able to, you know, walk down the stairs well, and so we're really grateful. Thank you so much for your love, and please keep praying. She has to have another test done at the end of the month, just for us to find out whether the esophagus is healing or if it's worsening. So please continue to pray for that. But thank you so much. We really appreciate the love. We felt it thousands of miles away. So thank you so much. Before I begin, I do want to just a quick shameless plug for something. So many of you very kindly bought my sermon journals. All right, wonderful. So they were a success. So what I've done is I've created a new one, which is a lot quite fancy, okay, and linen bound, and it's, you know, very nice. So if you bought one of the early ones, the first edition, you can get one of these for half price, all right, just to say thank you for buying and investing in this. If you didn't buy one, you can buy one full price today. After service, okay? So please come and see me. But I'm really excited about these. So, you know, our church has a publishing company, so they're gonna take these as well. They really like them as well, because there's nothing really out there like this. So thank you for really making this a success. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Okay, well, let us get into the Word of God. But before we do, let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the family that you have created. It's amazing, God, that we get to be a part of your kingdom and to know you, but that we also get to have kingdom relationships that are built and founded on love, on grace, on mercy and compassion and empathy. But God, we know that this life is full of trouble. It's full of challenges. And yet, God, you've made a way to give us hope. You've made a way for us to carry the burdens through prayer, but also through one another. And so we pray today, God, that as we look into the scriptures, as we wrestle with these concepts of troubles of life, Lord, that we will find peace in your word and find peace in you. Thank you, Father. Please speak powerfully through your scriptures today. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today we are continuing, as you know, through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount. And in today's text is a very famous one where Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we know that text very well, right? As we examine, though, the Sermon on the Mount, it's really important that we try to understand not just the teachings themselves, but the heart behind the teaching. So what is it that Jesus is really trying to get us to focus on within ourselves to be able to live out the fullness of those scriptures? Because it's very easy to look at these teachings and see them as just a list of things to do and not to do. But this is really not what Jesus is trying to get at. He's trying to help us to see the deeper intention, which is the intention of our heart. So within this passage today, the title is called Do Not Worry, because we see this phrase coming up three times at least within the text that we're about to read. So let's have a look. And within this text, we also see Jesus using this word or this term, therefore. We see him use that three times. So my three points today are all going to be encompassing this idea of therefore and do not worry, but it will make sense as we go through. So the first therefore is in context to what Steve was preaching about last week, about that you cannot serve both God and money. And so he says, you can't serve God or money. Therefore, he's about to say, don't worry if you choose to follow God. If you choose to serve God and not money, therefore, don't worry. Does that make sense? He says, don't worry about your life and what's going to happen. Let's look at how he words it exactly. So he says, therefore, if you're choosing to worship God and not money, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So Jesus says to them, listen, if you're choosing to follow me, don't worry about your life. Now, which aspect of life is he talking about? Well, he says what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. He's not saying we just need to just abandon all sensibilities of life altogether. But he's saying, listen, if you're worried about where your next meal is going to come from because you've left your family, maybe you've left your job to follow me, he says, don't worry. God has got you. Okay? He's saying, listen, although he says life is more than food. And it's interesting in this text here where he says life, the translation is psyche. It's our soul. So he's saying, listen, your life is more than just this physical part of us, that there is a spiritual component to your existence that is worth way more than any physical aspect of life. That is, of course, the salvation of our souls. But he's saying, listen, if you are willing to make your spiritual well-being a priority, God will make sure you have enough to eat. God will make sure. He says, listen, look at the birds of the air. He says, they're not farming and gathering up and storing up seeds and crops for them to go back to and eat. He says, God provides for them on a continual basis. God gives them exactly what they need. He prepares food for them throughout the winter even, so that they can eat even in the hardest of times. He then says, now, your body. He says, don't worry about your body. Now, is that what he really means? That we shouldn't be worried about our health? No. He's actually saying, don't worry about your body in terms of what you will wear. Do you see that? He says, is the body not worth more than clothes? So he's being very clear here about what we should and should not be worried about. And in the next text, we won't get to read it today, he says, listen, have you seen how beautiful the flowers are? Even the grass of the field is clothed with flowers. He says, how much therefore will God not clothe you? You are way more valuable than flowers. Of course God's going to take care of you. So he focuses on these two aspects, food and clothing. Now, have you seen within your awareness of God's word where these two concerns of food and clothing that God says, I will take care of you if you follow me? Can you think of any passages about that, or any historical text? This is a fulfillment in many ways of when God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. I heard someone say Egypt. Zahid? Manna? Okay, good. There was too many voices all at once. But this is what God did for the Israelites. He said, listen, if you're going to come and follow me, I've got you. And they're like, what about food? And God says, don't worry. I'm going to provide food for you, manna. And they're like, manna, we want some meat. So what does God provide? Quail. So he gives them this funny bread wafer stuff, and he gives them quail and says, listen, I'm going to take care of you. And they had enough every day. Those of them who collected too much, what happened? It went bad. Those that didn't quite collect enough, what happened? They had enough. It was pretty amazing. Now, what about their clothing? They were wandering through the desert for how many years? 40 years. And what happened to their clothes? They never wore out. What happened to their shoes? They never wore out. Isn't that amazing? And so Jesus is saying, look, God's already done this. And if you choose to follow me, just like your ancestors, God's going to take care of you as well. Isn't that encouraging? That's amazing. Now, the challenge is, do we believe this for us today? Because we could all be like, yeah, but back then you probably only had a couple of shirts and one pair of shoes anyway. Life is different now. But I think there's a message deeper behind this, isn't there? That Jesus is trying to get at, to say, if we truly will follow Jesus, do we trust that God will take care of our needs? Do we trust God? Because he is faithful. He's just looking for us to be faithful. So how does he do it? How does he make sure that what we have will be enough? Because the last time I checked, my pair of Nikes didn't last forever. 5 years tops. So how does he do this? Well, when we look in the book of Acts and we read the letters, we see that God has created this. He's created a community and a family that takes care of one another. This is, I think, his fulfillment of this. Now, this isn't to say that God just can't miraculously give us things, and of course, but he does it within this community. He does it through koinonia, giving, caring, and sharing. That's the difference. You know, many years ago, about 20 years ago, I became good friends with a brother who was an evangelist in Norway. And for one reason or another, he ended up coming out of the ministry, really know what to do for a job. Norway is a very expensive country to live. And he and his family, he had three kids, they just fell on really hard times financially. And then one day, I was like, I had this sense that I should send him some money. And so I was living in London at the time, and I remember to this day going to exchange this currency. I'm like, what is the currency of Norway? Getting the money that I needed, sent it off to him. And then, you know, he called me and he was like, CJ, you don't understand, but today we were down to our last penny. We had no money left for food, and the mail came, and there was your money that you had sent us. God does that. I hadn't done that ever before, and I've not done it since. Now, I've helped people, but in terms of sending money in the mail just to some person, it was weird how that happened. He said, you don't understand. He said, we cried when we received that money because we had no money to feed our family. Crazy. About a year later, we had moved from London and we'd gone up to Scotland, and I was working full time in the ministry. And we weren't hand to mouth, but it was a little bit challenging at times. And I remember that we were in a little bit of a pinch financially. And then one day the brother came over, we were hanging out, and he called me as he left. He said, oh, by the way, I left something for you, you know, in your hallway. And I looked and there was this card, and he was just saying, you know, thank you. And he left the same amount of money that I had sent that brother. Isn't that amazing? God takes care of it. God does that. We just need to trust and be faithful. You know, a year ago, the brother from Norway showed up here at church when, you know, we had the Nordic brothers and sisters come. And he was sharing, still to this day, just how profound it was that of all the timing that God moved in that way. God is faithful. We just need to be faithful and listen out, though, to the needs even amongst our family, to really make a difference. It's fine for us to be like, hey, we'll keep warm and well fed. I'll be praying for you. But when we're able to invest and make a difference, we have no idea what God might be doing and how he really might be working. Okay, let's move on. Secondly then, the second therefore is, therefore do not worry. So Matthew chapter 6 now, verse 31. Jesus says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So Jesus says, look, you have no reason to worry about those things, because God knows what you need, and he is your heavenly Father. Now, Jesus, of course, Jesus was God in flesh, but he came in such a way to have a relationship with the Father, to show us what it's like to walk with God as our Father. So he came to not only give us knowledge of God the Father, but also to show us God's faithfulness so that we could learn how to rely on God, walk with him, and be able to trust in God's goodness. Does that make sense? He didn't come just to teach us about God, but he came to show us what a relationship with the Father truly looks like. Now, to know and trust God isn't always easy, is it? Especially if we didn't have a great relationship with our own biological father, we can sometimes project his flaws, his failures, his weaknesses, his disconnect with us onto God. God is so different, of course. He is all loving, all powerful. He sees everything and he knows what we need. And so one of the goals of our apprenticeship to Jesus is to grow in the knowledge of God our Father. I love this prayer in Colossians chapter 1. Yeah, Colossians 1. Paul says, "We have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So he says, I'm praying that you will know God better. I'm praying that your knowledge of God will keep on increasing. If we fully knew the character of God, we would never have any reason to be fearful as to what God allows to come into our lives. The problem is, we think that God has made a mistake. We think that God doesn't know what we need, but if he's allowed us to something to enter into our lives, he knows that he will be able to help us to get through it and to endure it. See, God wants us to know the depths of his love for us, so that no matter what comes our way, we'll receive it in faith because he is faithful. How well do you know and trust God? You know, in the text, Jesus says, he gives an example of what trusting God does not look like. And he says, look, the Gentiles or the nations, the people who don't know God, they strive after all of those things because they don't know God. So he contrasts our relationship with the Heavenly Father with people who don't know God. So the nations didn't have a relationship with God in the same way as the Israelites did. They had a different relationship with their deities. They had to run after these things. Remember Artemis, when we were looking at Ephesians? There were certain rituals that they had to do. There were certain dances that they even did. There were offerings that were made just to try and win the favor of Artemis. That was what their belief system set up. He's saying, you don't have to do that because your Heavenly Father knows what you need and he is a good father. You just need to have the faith to understand that God knows and he sees what you need. And this is what he goes on to say. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do you believe that God knows what you need and what he has allowed in your life or not allowed in your life right now is because he knows you and he knows what's best for you? We can rest in full assurance that this is our Heavenly Father and he knows what is best. So if God knows what we need, why do we need to pray? Ever thought that? What is the point of praying if he already knows what we need? Well, I think it's because God is more concerned about having a relationship with us. I've come to understand, I think, more about God's character by being a father. I love it when my sons come and ask me for help. Whether it was when they were younger and they'd want me to help build Lego or teach them how to do a layup or something, or now when they want me to help them to fix their car or their bike or help with homework, I love that. Because it builds love, it creates trust, and it strengthens the connection between us. Now, of course, I've got to make sure that I'm, you know, making it a joyful time and not like, do it this way, no, not that way. But, you know, making it an encouraging time. When we pray, we're doing the same with God. It builds love, it creates trust, and it strengthens our connection with God. That's what he wants. He loves it when we pray, because we're saying, God, I can't do this without you. I need you. I love you. I rely on you. I trust in your goodness. And when we're like, no, I'm fine, we forget who God is, and we take our eyes off of how much he truly loves us. Okay, so let's move on. By the way, just very quickly, it's important that we understand what all these things actually means. Okay, so here it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, what is all these things? Well, if we look at the context of what Jesus is talking about, all these things is food, drink, and clothing. That's it. Don't be adding husband, wife, six-figure income, million-dollar house. Don't add these things to this list, okay? Because that is what he's talking about. Now, this isn't to say that God doesn't want to add those things to our lives, but I don't know if we can really hold him to it in the same way, okay? We can't be like, Jesus, you promised! And he's like, I promise you some food, some clothes, and a drink. You're on your own for the rest. I'm just saying, all right? I've heard this preached before, but let's keep it real, okay? All right, let's move on. Finally, therefore, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own. Jesus was teaching mindfulness way before YouTube. Way before. See, Jesus was aware that life is not without its fair share of troubles. Look at 2025, just for starters. What a year this has been. Oh my goodness. Whew. And we're only 3 months in, barely. Wow. But Jesus is trying to teach us that in God's kingdom, there's a certain way of dealing with troubles and the worries and the concerns of life that is different from the way of the world. He's trying to teach that as disciples, we need to learn how to live non-anxiously in a very troubled world. And we do that by the way that we train our mind and our thoughts to focus on the here and now, today, and not the tomorrow. You see, anxiety centers on the unknown, because you don't know how things are going to play out. But anxiety runs through all of these different thought patterns and these possible end results. That's what anxiety does, of how things might happen, how they might play out, what could take place in the future. That's why he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't run ahead to where things could go and how things might be. Just focus on the here and now, focus on today. You see, anxiety is so crippling if we allow it to do that. It can lead us down on spiritual paths, it can lead us to very unhealthy places, and seeking God's kingdom is the last thing we want to do when we're consumed with anxiety. So kingdom living is about training our thoughts and guiding where our thoughts will go, instead of our thoughts influencing and guiding us. The Bible Project, I was doing a little bit of listening to them on this, and they were saying that, you know, it's important to say this, that Jesus, though, when it comes to anxiety, is not talking about anxiety disorders or not needing a therapist, because there are certain things sometimes where we just need that little bit of extra help. That's not what he's talking about. Remember, the context is clothing, food, and drink. So if there are bigger things than that within our lives, we may need a little bit of professional help to get us through. But there are still some really important lessons that we can learn from this. So it is easier, though, said than done, isn't it? Than just be like, hey, don't be anxious. What happens if someone says to you, calm down? You're like, what do you mean calm down? Last thing. Hey, don't be anxious about that. I am not. I am. Am I? Get confused. It's troubling. But this is what God says, actually. Look at this verse in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the word that Jesus uses, do not worry, the opposite of that is peace, by the way. So Jesus is saying, be at peace if you follow me. Be at peace. In this text, Paul tells the church in Philippi, the way that we are able to be full of peace and have the peace of God is through prayer. Prayer and petition. There was a study done about 20 years ago, and this radiologist wanted to discover whether prayer actually has an impact on our brains. And so he had a control group of people who did not believe in God, and he had a group of people who were theists, they did believe in God. And so he got the theist group over a period of time to pray for 12 minutes a day. I don't know why 12, maybe it's the 12 disciples, I have no idea. But 12 minutes a day. And over this period of time, he measured the brain activity to see whether what areas of the brain were sparked through prayer, but also whether the brain activity changed and the brains got healthier in that period of time. What was pretty amazing was that in the people who prayed, the theists who prayed for 12 minutes a day, the first part of the brain that became even healthier was the part that manages emotions. It's the part of our brain that allows us to have empathy towards other people, the part of the brain that gives that helps us to feel things. And what he noticed was that this cortex, the activity in this cortex, it grew, and the people became nicer people. They became more forgiving simply because they prayed for 12 minutes a day. Isn't that amazing? That's what prayer does. Now, the second one is even more important. Prayer also decreased the part of the brain that was responsible for the fight or flight mechanism, the kind of self-preservation aspect of our beings. It decreased blood pressure, decreased heart rate. It also decreased depression, anxiety, and even PTSD. That's amazing. And it led to greater self-control and self-discipline, all because these people prayed for 12 minutes a day. Isn't that amazing? Truly incredible. I have a link to the article, by the way, at the very end, if you'd like to read it. There's a kind of a brief version, and then there's a link on there if you want to read the full academic one. God knows what he's talking about. So when he says, pray and petition, he knows it's for our well-being. He didn't say it just you know, for no reason. He's like, I know that this will bring you healing. It will bring you comfort. You will find peace in doing this. Think about how we deal with anxiety for a moment. And then ask yourself, how prayerful am I? Maybe this is a wonderful opportunity just for you, that God is saying, I want to spend more time with you. I want to be able to help you to find a peace. And maybe he's doing it through the challenges that he allows into our lives. You know, as we finish, the Philippians 4 passage goes on, and it talks about perhaps thinking about the right things. You know, a friend of mine today was telling me that his mother has very serious dementia, and she may not have long left. And I was like, well, how are you coping? He said, I'm journaling. And I was like, what a great thing to be able to do. And that's what this is talking about. He says, look, think about what is true. Think about the good things that are real in your life, that are honorable, that are lovely. And so he's thinking about all the wonderful things about his mother, and it's helping him to get through the challenge of facing with that reality. We have to focus our minds on the things that are true. Please try journaling if you don't already. I know many of you are. But I also love how it finishes. And it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We also get to learn how to overcome anxiety through looking how other people deal with anxiety themselves. So we could look around our fellowship and be like, oh, I wonder how Billy would deal with this situation. Because we know that Billy is a pretty calm, chilled person, right? Rose, would you agree? Yes? Okay, good.
Or we might say, hey, what about Patricia Butts? She always just seems so calm and wise. How would she deal with this situation? That's what he's saying. We can learn it through modeling and getting advice from other people, spending time with them, seeing how they deal with things helps us to be able to learn those things. I know there's many more people I could point out. I know that. But it is so important. That's why this community brings healing. Okay, let us bring this to a close. I did have some discussion questions, but we don't have time for them today. But I would like you, if you would like to, just think about these questions. What worries and concerns might be causing anxiety in your life right now? And which practices might help you gain a greater peace of God in your life through these challenges that you're facing? Perhaps it might be petitioning God in prayer with thanksgiving, by the way. So not just moaning to God about what's going on, but actually looking to be grateful within the thing that's causing you anxiety. So look for things to be grateful in within those. It could be mindful journaling. It could be modeling or looking at other people's examples and learning from others. So if you would like to do that, please go ahead. As we close, when Jesus was here on earth, it says, during the days of Jesus' earthly life, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Even Jesus felt anxious multiple times. The Bible says here that Jesus was constantly praying to the one who could save him from death. He's not talking about saving him from death when he was about to go to the cross. But there were times in the Bible where, remember where Jesus was about to be thrown off the cliff? You bet Jesus prayed at that moment. And God saved him at that point. There were probably numerous occasions where he was close to being killed for his love and devotion to the Father. And in those moments, he offered up prayers of petition to the Father who could save him. But it says, through that, he learned obedience through his suffering. See, he had never been in that situation before where he felt anxious for our sake. He felt anxious in the life, living this life of trouble, so that he could empathize with us when we have to go through troubles in our life. He's now able to see, I know what it's like for them because I went through it myself. So we have an incredible Savior who not only went to the cross for us, but also journeyed through the challenges of anxiety himself and dealt with it in the same way as God calls us to, which is trusting God through prayer and petition. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for your amazing, amazing Son. Thank you that he was willing not only to go to the cross, but also willing to suffer so much for us, even in his earthly life, but also modeling for us a relationship with you that will get us through the pain, the worries, the challenges that we face. We thank you, Father, that he was not disconnected from our own realities, God, but that he endured the sufferings himself to point us to a greater trust and a deeper relationship with you. Thank you for his amazing sacrifice, though, Father. We are truly blessed to have him as our brother, him as our Savior, and you as our Father. Help us, God, please, to continually learn to trust you and to draw closer to you because you love us so much. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.